Okay, without looking at my wife, we're going to do the prayer hymn. See, did you see that? See, repetition works. We're getting there. We're getting there. Yeah. Prayer hymn is Lead Me to Calvary. The message for today on this third week of Lent is not a Lenten message, but I have witnessed God at work this week, and I want to explain that to you. Hopefully I can tie this all together. We are members at Oakland Methodist Church. We have a Bible study every month on the last Tuesday of the month, and we have it, as any good brethren knows, at Perkins, so you can eat, okay? Just so you understand. My pastor, Randy Bain, great man, leads that Bible study in prayer time. I get a message on my phone as I lay down in bed that pastor's sick and he's not going to be able to make it. Would you mind leading the men's prayer group? We have one for men and one for women. We actually separate them so they don't fight. No, so they don't interfere with each other. So I got this message as I lay down. John, will you handle the prayer breakfast in the morning? My immediate thought was, why now? Why didn't you tell me earlier? Because I was planning on doing what I do best in my old age, and that's sleep. So I got up in the morning, and I thought, what am I going to talk about? So I got my Bible out that I've had for many years, and I opened it, and it opened to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4, where we're at today. The two parts of the chapter that stood out to me were the two parts I used for the prayer meeting, the prayer time. And the words that stood out in those two passages were the words, don't lose heart. Then, it was a successful meeting, I think it was. Nobody got up and left. There were six or eight of us there. And I considered it a successful meeting, and I think all were blessed. At least I was, I know. Then I came to Sunday school this morning. And I witnessed personally the Spirit of God at work. And I knew He was at work immediately. I knew He was at work earlier in the week. And that He was at work this morning, because although I didn't have a Sunday school book to see the lesson or prepare for the lesson, the lesson was called perseverance. Now, do not lose heart and perseverance are two ways to explain the same topic. Then Brother Mark comes in and sings songs about keep on keeping on in Christ. None of that is a coincidence. I think that I can see God smiling at us when we doubt Him. So we're going to talk about this lesson today, and I consider it more of a lesson than a sermon. It has nothing to do with Lent. So if you go out of here and tell somebody that preacher doesn't preach the right message because it was Lent and he didn't preach about Lent, I think Lent will wait another week. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses beginning on verse 1 and then 16 to 18. It's an important message, not a Lenten message. And I believe, and I am 100% sure it's a Spirit-prompted message just because of the way the week went. Now, when you want to get advice or when you want to hear somebody speak, usually it's, first of all, a topic you're interested in. If you're a basketball nut, and I call them nuts because I'm not, but and I said I'm going to have Michael Jordan here to speak this morning, you would have a whole church full of basketball nuts, right? Now, if it was football, maybe, well, let's see, who do I have? Oh, Terry Bradshaw, I'm a Steeler fan. But what if I said Tom Brady? That would still bring a crowd, maybe not the same crowd. Whatever your field of interest, say you're a scientist. If I would bring a Nobel Prize winner in to speak, we would have a lot of different fields of science that would come to hear what they had to say. We want to know what their secrets are, how they achieved so much in their fields. What have they learned? What are the obstacles that they have overcome? And how did they do it? Now, in Christianity, there are several people that we could choose from, but probably the Apostle Paul would come to the top of the list. He's a great example. He's a phenomenal believer. He was a convert from Judaism. He's a church founder and planter. He endured many struggles. He was thrown in prison He was beaten. He was left for dead. In other words, his attackers thought he was already dead. They left him there. He was stoned, he was hated, and he was rejected. Remember when we were kids, or at least me and maybe me and Tim, we were kids at one time, weren't we? The guy with the big S on his chest. You remember watching that show? No, that would be T. T. This is S. Stood for what? Superman. Well, if Paul were here today and he'd want to be dressed in the proper attire, he would have SC on his shirt, and that would stand for Super Christian. Super Christian. The reason I stayed away from the Lenten message today is because that message that I used in that Bible study, the Spirit told me that that's a message that this church needs. This message is a message of encouragement for struggling Christians. And the message, basically, in my words, is hang on. Let me read it. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Therefore, now let me tell you, before I go any further, the word therefore. Learned this when I was studying the Bible, preparing for ministry. If you see the word therefore, most of the time you see it in the New Testament. If you see the word therefore, I always underline it in my Bibles. If you just read a little further, you'll find out what it was there for. Therefore, Paul says, since through God's mercy we have this ministry. Okay, who's Paul talking to? Let's stop right there. Who has this ministry? Yeah. I like your response. We all have this ministry. Paul's talking to all of us. They don't all look the same, but we all have a ministry. Therefore, since through God's mercy we all have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Underline that. Even in the church pew Bible, you can underline it. And then jump to verse 16. Not that there's not important stuff in there, but that's not what I want to talk about this morning. And then he says the word therefore in verse 16, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Verse 18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen. What is the part that we see? That's the physical. Not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. That's the spiritual part. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You just said that this morning, Tim. What's seen is going to pass away. Now, Paul says twice in the same chapter, do not lose heart. Something else I learned in studying biblical studies in preparation to be a pastor. When you see a word in the Bible repeated two times, it doubles the emphasis. When you see it repeated three times, it more than triples the emphasis. The angels, when they worshiped in Revelation, said the words, holy, holy, holy. Now, what that should tell us is that God is beyond our understanding, holy. When it's repeated two times or three times, pay attention. So Paul says, do not lose heart to us twice. Because there's a great temptation we have as human beings. And that is to what? To lose heart. Paul wouldn't have said it if it wasn't important. Paul's testimony to us, to you, is don't lose heart. And Paul describes this, I'll call it heart sight, or heart vision. Maybe that would be a better way to describe it. A little differently in Ephesians when he writes the letter. I don't have a scripture for this, but that's okay. He calls it the eyes of my heart. I pray, he says, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Now, I don't know a lot about anatomy. I'm not a nurse or a doctor, but I don't think your heart has eyes, right? So Paul must be talking about something more than the obvious. Don't lose heart is Paul's way of ensuring victory for the believer. And what he's saying to us unwritten is you're going to have some tough times. You're going to have times when you think that maybe you made a mistake, that maybe all is for naught. But Paul's not talking about the physical meaning of losing heart. We can't lose our heart. And if we did, we would instantly die. What Paul's saying is, I don't lose heart, or I don't give in to fear, because that fear would paralyze me. Paul's saying, I have found a way to keep going and not give in to the fatigue that would make me quit. In another writing, he says something like this, not everyone who starts the race finishes it. And Tim, didn't we talk about a race in Sunday school? See, Paul knew what it was like to do battle with the devil. The devil has two main weapons, and if you're into police and cop shows, it is his M.O., which is his what? You know what M.O. is? Modus operandi in Latin, method of operation, the way in English. The devil has two main methods of operation. Number one, fear. And number two is fatigue. And every Christian faces these in different and varying amounts. Now, if you're a human being, and I assume everybody here is, natural reaction would be, well, fear. I'm not afraid. I don't do that. But deep down inside in our spiritual self, we might think, you know, this is too much. I can't accomplish this. I won't succeed, or it's not worth the time and the effort. So what's fatigue? Well, fatigue is just being plain old tired. Anybody been plain old tired in their life? Yeah. Yeah. But this is a tiredness of fighting the battle, the spiritual battle. The spiritual battle for your family. You're praying that your family would become believers or understand. You have friends that you pray for. Maybe you need provisions in your home. You're just out of strength. Now, in the military, in infantry training and the antidote, we talk about war this morning in Sunday school class. You know, it was really hard for me to sit there and keep my mouth shut this morning. In the military, and I don't care what branch, when you prepare for infantry training, and they teach you hand-to-hand combat, when you attack someone, you scream like a maniac. And there's a reason for that. Your hope is to instill just an instance of fear into the one you're attacking. Because fear will paralyze you. Fear causes you to lose something that God has given you. It could be confidence. It could be assurance. It could be a relationship. Certainly always causes you to doubt the victory that you've been given. But you see, Paul in this passage is not given in to fear. In this same letter to the Corinthians, Paul describes his battles as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Wow. How can anybody be sorrowful and still rejoice at the same time? Well, anybody can't, but by God's strength, you can. Our hymns are full of things like joy and suffering, joy and sorrow. We read them, but we don't get them until we experience them. There's a great battle. Great battle going on right now. In this building and in this community, and all throughout the United States and the rest of the world. I've experienced times when I tried to minister to people and I just felt heavy in my heart and tired and weary. Through all this suffering and trials, Paul felt them too. Paul's boasting in his success through Jesus Christ. Don't lose heart. Don't lose your focus. So how does God strengthen us? Well, the same way he feeds us. Go back to that famous prayer that was taught by the famous Savior in this Bible. He starts out, "Our Father who art in heaven," you know, you remember that prayer? And then when he gets down to provisions, he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." I think in this country we're spoiled because we're so used to abundance, we have a hard time dealing with this day's need. So how you receive from God is day by day. God does not deliver in bulk, okay? God, it's not God logistics that brings you the blessing. I know why he doesn't, because we'd forget who provided it. Till we were done using up that bulk, we'd forget where it came from. Paul said he was renewed day by day And he did not lose heart. Then on to verse 16b. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Now outwardly, that refers to those beatings Paul took, to the pain that he went through, to the imprisonment that he suffered, to the ridicule that his fellow Jews hammered on him. But the renewal comes day by day. That's why we have to stay in the Word. Paul says, but even more important than what's happening on the outside is what's happening on the inside. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed. See, when we become saved, we are new. Day by day, we are renewed. See, the world, in reference to your heart, and I get this passage from Andrew Murray. He is a great devotional writer and Christian. And I'll paraphrase what he said, but basically, when it comes down to the bottom line, your whole world is your heart. What do you live for? What do you love? What is the most important to you? That is your world. And the world has nothing to do with this church or the town of Jerome or even Conemaugh Township or even this country. The world is in your heart means it encompasses all of that. If your inner person is weak, you're not going to make it. You're going to lose heart. You're going to give in to fear. You're going to get tired because in the battles that we fight, we're not wrestling against, don't know any wrestlers, Hulk Hogan. We're not wrestling against Hulk Hogan. We're wrestling against principalities and powers. And we need the strength of God to fight against those demons. When you were a child, and I remember fondly my childhood memories, when you were a child, Mom would make you something for breakfast or for lunch or for dinner. She would say, "Eat your food. You need it. It'll make you strong." She fed you one meal at a time. That's what God does. He helps you through today. When you wake up tomorrow, if you wake up tomorrow, He'll be there again to help you tomorrow. So our inner relationship with the Lord, opening the inner person up to the Lord, is all important. That's how we're renewed. When we meet God on a daily basis, He gives us the strength that we need to fight fatigue. He gives us the courage that we need so you won't give in, so you won't give up, so you're not afraid. But it takes strength. It takes spiritual strength. It's like in the jungle, in the wild country. Weakness only does one thing. It draws the predators. If you're weak in the Lord, you will be attacked. We are renewed when we pray, when we worship, and also, this is hard for us, when we wait. Sometimes we just have to wait for God's timing. Sometimes we need fresh breezes of the Holy Spirit. We need fresh fountains of the river of living water. I think I read that somewhere. Isaiah, who lived long before Paul, put it this way in Isaiah 40, 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and, what? Right. They shall walk and not faint. They're not going to give in. They that wait upon the Lord. So what's the lesson in this message today? Well, the lesson is there's inward strength, and then there's outward strength. But the most important is the inward strength. Because the outward strength, according to Brother Tim, will all perish one day. So what wins the victory? Well, it's not, you know, biceps or triceps. It's spiritual strength. And that comes only from God. All the great Christians have been strong on the inside. When I was a younger man, and I was. You can ask my sister. Yeah. When I was a younger man, I had this concept that going to church on Sunday was like going to the gas station. You get filled up, and then you run for a week or a few days, okay? And I don't mean to get political here, but the car you're driving, the spiritual car you're driving, is more of an electric vehicle. You need to plug it in every day. You know the old hymn, I need thee every hour. Yeah, amen, amen. God's love is stronger than our pain. His love is stronger than our tiredness. His love is stronger than our fear. So whatever your thing is today, whatever your issue is today, you need to be renewed. And that's just so you can keep going to get to tomorrow. What happens today will carry you through today, but tomorrow we need it all again. Outwardly, we're perishing. We're all dying. Did you notice the world has become perverted just like the Bible says it would? All of the things that are good are now bad, and all of the things that were bad are now good. It's inwardly. That's where the answer is. by God's grace, we are renewed. Let me pray. Father God, again, we thank you.